is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Thank you, Dale, and welcome here to the Christian War Room. I don't know. This is maybe a little bit of an emergency call. I thought about it today, and I think one thing we need to do, we really need to do, and that is to preach the gospel as long as we can do it, as long as it is day, as long as the night doesn't come, and we know that the night is just around the corner. I mean, we've got this proverbial statement that it's 5 to midday or 5 to midnight, 5 to 12, and just suggesting that, you know, the end is near. And one thing, and this is just a sense I've got, and it may be wrong, it may be right, and you be the judge of it yourself, and that is that that we need to live in the expectation that the clock is running out and that time is running out, and that we have only got a very short time to really preach the gospel. And I think we should live in this mindset of preaching the gospel whenever we can. Okay, so you may say, oh, I'm not really up for it, and it's not really my thing, and it's not really sort of my kind of thing, but there are many ways of preaching the gospel, and I think I've talked a lot about it in the past, about different versions and different methods of preaching the gospel. So you can just leave a tract somewhere, you can leave... maybe use B-Stick, where you put the Bible on a gospel message, or you can leave... if you go to truthforlife.com, truth for life, okay, I think that's what it's called, truthforlife.org, and I'm not sure whether these are the guys. Let's have a look, see whether we can see this. I don't know, no, I don't think it's them. Let me see. I got an email from those guys, and then we can hopefully figure out what the website is. Obviously, Truth for Life. I've just landed on a website, and I think it was Time for Truth. It's called, not Truth for Life. Time for Truth. Timefortruth.co.uk. That's one example. Okay, let's just go there. Time for Truth. Co.uk. And I'm just typing it in as we go there, and they have got, yeah, that's it. They've got a little website, and you can get sort of gospel coins, and you've got like a little gospel message on there, like a Bible verse. Yeah, it's a King James version of a Bible verse, but they also, and it's only like about 30 cents, and I thought it was actually quite a really good idea. And you can just leave them anywhere. And that's one way how you can just sow little gospel seeds. So whether they are welcome or not, it's a different question. I don't know. Some people may respond to it or not. But the main thing is the gospel needs to get out there. And maybe sometimes you might use it as a point, you know, a talking point where you might get people to do it. The reality is, and I think unless there is a revival, unless people's hearts are moved... I mean, even Jesus said it in the Sermon of the Mount, that only few are there who will find the narrow way, and that's what he's talking about. But we need to get the gospel out. Okay, I want to look at a Bible verse and or Bible scripture, and that's in Mark 16, which is the Great Commission. And this is what Jesus said, and it's pretty much right at the end. And he says, later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and their hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Yeah. Okay, let me just zoom into this one verse. And he says here, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that is pretty much what we need to do. And what we find today is that there's a whole lot of people out there. And this kind of really shocks me. I'm sort of living close to a school, and I see all these people going in and out every day. I know this town reasonably well where I live. It's about 25,000 people living here. And when you go through this town, you see all these people, and it's only a handful, literally a handful of them, who embrace Christ. And it's just shocking. It's just absolutely shocking. When you go through this town, and there's an evidence of a different time and a different period. It used to be a mining town, and people went down the mines. And, you know, the day you went down, you didn't really know whether you would come back up again, because there were loads of accidents and people were dying right, left, and center. And probably being faced with death on a daily basis, it encourages you to think about your destiny very, very clearly. Where do you go when you die? And I think there was a great openness towards the gospel, you know, in these areas. And to give you one example, there's one guy, you know, the greatest missionary to China, or one of the greatest, I don't know, Hudson Taylor. He just grew up. I think it's Worth, which is the next village down the road. Yeah, so he grew up about less than 10 miles, maybe 5 miles from here. That's where he grew up. And when you sort of walk around this town, what you see is you see like little gospel chapels all over the place. Yeah, all over the place. And it's not just one or two, but there are, for a small town like this, there are loads of them. There are loads of them. And then you see the next thing as well, and this is really disturbing. None of them. I think there's only one of them that's still in use. One or two. Yeah, all the others have closed down. There was, about 30 years ago, some Christians bought an old gospel chapel, which used to be a carpet warehouse, and they turned it back into a gospel. So it was a gospel chapel, you know. Then they abandoned it, and it was taken over. It turned into some carpet shop. You know, for them, they need a lot of space, and that's the idea. And then they, they went bust, and they had to sell the premises, and a church was buying those premises again. And they started running a church, and everything went okay for about 10, 20 years. And then, again, the whole thing just went down the drain again. The church I go to is a very small church, and I think there are only 3-4 people who come from the area here. Everybody else comes from quite a distance away, so they come from other towns. And the main reason to attend this church is to make sure that it stays alive, yeah. There's no reason for them to travel 10, 20 miles to come to this place, but they still wanted to maintain a witness and a testimony in this church. And this is the status of the world we're living in the West, where people are falling away from the faith. They just don't want to know anymore. They don't want to, go to church or be part of a fellowship anymore. And it's just all falling by the wayside. And one of the things we need to do, and we have to really deal with these days, is to confront the people with the gospel again, one more time. Okay, in England, for example, I know in America it's different. In England, there is a subject called religious education, and it is all about knowing the Bible. Used to be, you know, many, many years ago, about a generation ago, so that would be my parents' generation. So again, there are now generations below me as well. So I'm 50 years old, so you can work out where my generation stands. So I'm, the 60s generation, born in the 60s. The baby boomers still, I think, we are just about the threshold there. And then my parents' generation here in England, they would have had Bible or Scripture, and people would have learned Scripture in RE, in religious education, and that is in the state school. And that's all been given up, yeah? And now the kids, because of diversity, and that's now the Holy Grail, which is preached, you know, through the secular outlets. The diversity is very important, and we need to recognize, and it's postmodernism, you know, anything is okay. And so they have to look at all the different religions due to immigration that's happened to this country. So in my thinking, you know, if you go to places like Islamic countries, you have to learn Islamic culture. You know, they insist on that, and they wouldn't entertain in their wildest dreams to have religious education for their people, which includes Christianity. And if it includes Christianity, then only from a from an opposing point of view to minimize Christianity as a religion. Okay, that's all they do. But what's happened in the West is, especially here in England, is that for the sake of diversity, the state has bent over backwards to dispose of the Christian heritage that this country has, you know, going down at least 1,000 years in this country, possibly even more. So we've got a Christian witness which goes right to the Roman days, and missionary activities were here well before Rome decided to send some missionaries. There were already Christians here, so pretty much from day one, almost from day one, from within the first couple of generations, there were Christians in this country, and there's a strong Christian heritage. And regardless of whether, you know, what you think, or you know, whether you're a Christian or you're not a Christian, that is part of the tradition and the heritage of this country. You know? Now, that's pretty much denied, and this is just sort of taught on the periphery, and the kids have to spend as much time to learn Islam, to learn Sikhism, Hinduism, Buddhism, and then a little bit about Christianity as well. And it's a bit of a problem in this country. So kids grow up, and, you know, as far as they get it, because very often they don't get it from their parents anymore, they've got a very skewed understanding of the Bible, you know, very often taught by people who don't believe themselves. And that is pretty much what is happening here. When you go on a Sunday out and you try to find out what's going on a Sunday morning, there's nobody going to church here. There's a big Anglican church down the road, again, 25,000 people in this village, and nobody cares. You know, it's just like a day to sleep over your hangover and to do shopping. That's pretty much what it's come down to. And obviously, I'm just talking about this town here, and I think it's just representative of what is going on in the West. You know, what is going on in the West. When I go to Germany, not much different. I mean, when I was a kid, Sunday morning, the streets were full with churchgoers. I mean, most of them were Catholics, and they went to the Catholic church. That was the town where I grew up in. And I'm not a fan of that denomination or that confession, that faith, may you call it. But people, at least, they spend some time, and they spend some time out of the day to seek God and to pay homage to God, to worship God, whether it is just dead tradition or it is just a bit of a get-together for some of them. But they did it. Yeah? That nobody was forcing them. It wasn't sort of a very stringent tradition that if you didn't do it, you were going to be in big trouble or if you missed out on it. But when I look today, it doesn't happen anymore. It's all gone. It's all gone by the by. Again, there is something which is happening, which is some sort of agnosticism that's crept into society. People don't know anymore. And there is this phrase in the Bible which we find in the Old Testament, that the people did what was right in their own eyes. And that is pretty much what describes this generation. There's salvation according to Bob, or salvation according to John, or whoever it is, you know. But they do what is right in their own eyes. And when they die, that's what they rely on, because they are not really quite as bad as, you know, Hitler or Stalin or somebody else. So therefore, they must have entry to heaven. But it's not living according to the standards of God. It's not recognizing what God has in store for them. It is not recognizing who God is and what God has spoken to this generation. It is sort of a complete rejection of the gospel, which is going on. But partly, we are now coming into, you know, a situation where kids are growing up and they are raised by parents who have rejected the gospel and who have rejected the message of the Bible, who have, for whatever reason, okay, and very often the reasons are wrong reasons anyway, because they reject something which they misunderstood rather than rejecting the truth. So, I mean, we are coming back to this point. We need to teach and we need to preach and we need to let people know the gospel. And just let him know and get it out there in one form or another. Okay, we are in the Christian War Room, and all I'm calling you upon is just to, obviously, not to take up up arms in a worldly sense, in a secular sense, but to take up arms in a spiritual sense, which is the Word of God. Yeah. The Bible says that the Word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword, you know, even dividing between the bone and marrow. Yeah. So we have got something at our disposal which is really, really sharp. And even Paul says that, you know, when you preach the Word of God, some of the people, they smell life, they sense life, they scent the aroma of life, and others the stench of death. And he was referring to the victory parades in the Roman Empire. So when the Romans conquered a tribe, you know, they went somewhere to Germania, you know, to Germany, or whatever, yeah, some tribe somewhere, the head of war, they won, they conquered a particular tribe. And at that point, they could do with them what they wanted. And they made a big parade. They called it the victory parade. And then they had all these slaves, you know, all these soldiers, which they captivated, and they kept them alive. And then they did this parade. And just to show how powerful the Roman Empire is, at the end of the parade, some were released. No reason whatsoever. Some of them were, you know, the chains were taken off. They were taken out of the cages or whatever. They put them in during the parade. They were let loose, and they could go home. They were free to do what they wanted. And why did Rome do this? Because they could. You know, they had the power to give freedom to them, to enslave them, to imprison them, to do what they wanted. And so they were given freedom. And then others who were in the same victory parade, again, for no reason whatsoever, they were put to death. Why? Because Rome could do it. They had conquered this tribe, they had the power over this tribe, and they could do whatever they wanted. So this victory parade to them, to some, was the aroma of life. And what was happening, because they had incense and all sorts of stuff, it must have been quite a spectacle when this went on. And so people would smell this incense, and to some of them it would be the message for life and freedom. And for others, it would be the message of death, because at the end of the parade, the Romans would just kill them. And that was, you know, just a show. And obviously it was attended. People got quite excited about it, and it represented the Roman Empire. Let the Roman Empire see how powerful it is. And that is what is happening. Now, I'm not saying, you know, that the gospel we preach is arbitrary, condemning people to death or life. But as we preach it and people reject it, there's no more hope for them. Yeah? There's no more hope for them. They are doomed to death. But it doesn't mean, you know, if you preach it to them, it's like sowing seeds, that the seeds will come up now, or because they're rejected now, that's it, you know. God is a God of mercy, and he's a God of grace, and he gives people many, many chances to respond to him. The important thing is we need to sow out the seeds. We need to let people know what the message of the gospel is and what this message is all about. Okokay, I'm looking at the time here. We've got about half an hour to do the Christian War Room talk, and obviously, you know, my first call to you is do something, you know, try and get ready, prepare yourself, you know, stuff some tracts in your trousers, you know, go to, what is it, Truth for, isn't Truth for Life, what's the website again, I've forgotten it. Let's look up here, and can I, Truth for Life is not the one. Time for Truth. timefortruth.co.uk. I've got nothing to do with these guys, but they've got a shop, yeah, and you can get some gospel coins or dog tags or something like that, or you can order tracts and lots of other stuff as well. But you can write your own tracts as well. Yeah, you can write your own tracts, and you can maybe get your coins from elsewhere. I haven't found them anywhere else, but it's for means for you to get them, the website is timefortruth.co.uk. I find it interesting as well, sort of when I used it and I was, you know, just putting the coin somewhere, people actually take them. Yeah? It's like a tract, you know, it's just a piece of paper, people aren't interested. They take them because it's something weird, something they haven't seen. It looks like a dollar coin, the old one a little bit. And you don't seem to, again, they don't throw them away, because you might think, oh, they... and it's something I've experienced when I once had a Christian bookstall at a secular market. I forgot the signpost to let people know what this bookstall is all about. So there were just tons of books, and it was just a means to try and, you know, see how this works and how this goes. And I didn't go too well, to be honest, but I had some very interesting experiences. There were some people that were maybe interested in books, and they got near the stall, And as soon as they realized it was Christian, they went away from it like it was toxic. I've never seen anything like it. It's like, you know, what are you on about? I mean, it's harmless, isn't it? We are Christians. We are just giving some Christian literature here. If you want it, it's fine. If you don't want it, that's okay as well. You know, I'm not forcing you. I'm not sucking you into some sort of cult or anything like that. It's just Christian stuff, Christian literature. And it was quite an experience to see that. But then on the other hand, I think the day I sold one New Testament, you know, some people they're open and they're interested and they want to know this. But this is the thing I'm trying to get across here. Try and do something, you know, get something going, preach the gospel, do it in one way or another way. You know, get some stuff out there, get the word out there and get people to know about Jesus. Okay, let me just check how much time I've got. We've got about 8 minutes left. Let me just put you the gospel in 1 minute. The gospel message is very, very simple. Number one is we are all sinners. We cannot stand before God. Doesn't matter what we do and whether we are goody-goody or do-gooders or whatever. It's not going to save us. Yeah, that's number one message. Why? God's righteousness is infinite. Our righteousness is not. Yeah? It doesn't matter how good we are. There's still some chinks and nudges and some damages there. We have done stuff which isn't right before God. In any way, we cannot stand before God the way we are. We may be a murderer. We may be pretty much a saint, but there's like the few things here and there which are not up to standard. And these things need forgiveness. The same as a murderer needs forgiveness. We need forgiveness for the little sins as well. Okay, to do with infinity, you know, infinitely holy. You know, a little bit sinful doesn't much. Can't get there. We need to be infinitely holy to make it. Okay, God has become flesh, you know, John. Gospel according to John, first verses. God has become flesh, you know, he dwelt among us. And he was the light showing us a way. And the way is not, you know, not just to be morally upstanding and all that, but the way is the way of faith, to believe in what Jesus has done. What has Jesus done? He lived a life without sin. He went to the cross, you know, let himself be nailed to the cross to die, even though he didn't need to, because he was without sin. So if you believe that he shed his blood for your sins, then your sins are forgiven. And as far as God is concerned, you are covered by the blood of Christ and you are pure. And you are infinitely righteous at that moment. Not through your deeds, but through your status. Your status is infinitely righteous. What do we need to do to try and obtain this righteousness from Christ? Number one is we need to repent. That is, we need to be willing to turn away from all the stuff that's not right before God. We need to surrender to Christ, bow down before Christ. And we need to put our faith in what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. That he shed his blood for your sins, for my sin, for whoever accepts it. And I think that is the core message. How long did it take me? It took me about 3 minutes to get this message across. Obviously, there's a lot more to it, to the Christian life and to being a Christian, but that's really all we need to get across, because people need to know this. Yeah. And even if we sow this little seed into their lives, and please don't confuse it with money, this is what's happening within the Christian world too often today. But if you sow this little seed, this little word of God into people's lives, you don't know when it might come to fruition, because ultimately it's the Holy Spirit who is leading people into truth, convicting people of sin and righteousness, and drawing people, wooing people to come to God. And it might even be, you know, that the day they die and all they've lived for, you know, becomes insignificant, because they're going to die, they're going to be gone. If it comes to that point, they might just remember at that point the little message, the little word you've given them. And they might call upon the name of Jesus. And Romans says that whosoever calls upon on the name of Jesus will be saved. Whoever calls upon the name of Jesus Christ will be saved. Okay, so what are we going to do? I don't know. Obviously, it's up to you. I've put a small audio file together. If you're listening here on the internet via Seismic Radio or via BPN Radio, go to the website christianwarroom.com, christianwarroom.com. I'm not quite sure what this talk is called, what the number of this talk is. I think it's going to be 212, maybe. I think it's going to be talk number 212. Try and find it in on the website, and just below there, there's going to be a link to an MP3 file, which is just full of gospel messages, a little bit of music in between. It's going to be about 60 minutes long, and that might be something you might share on your Facebook page, you might share on I don't know, you know, WhatsApp, or just play it in your car when you're at the traffic light and hope that some, you know, warm day, whack up the stereo and you have to listen to everybody's crazy music. So some people may as well listen to the gospel and then then see what comes out, what comes out from it. You can download this audio file from the page, but be free. I mean, create your own audio file. Have a look on YouTube. There are tons of gospel messages out there. Tons of interesting testimonies as well of people who came to Christ, and get them going. You know, put them all together. There's some free software called Audacity. Takes a little bit to get your head around it, how to work it. But you can compile your own audio files and get those messages out there. My thinking is, if you get the message out, it should be short and snappy. You probably have about 1 to 2 minutes to get the message, the initial contact going. And if you don't get people within the first 2 or 3 minutes, you've lost them and they won't come back. And so you can maybe use a gospel message that's only about 2 or 3 minutes long and play it to people. There's one gospel message in the audio file, and it's a rap. It's a one-minute rap by a woman who's really good, actually. Some of the stuff might be a little bit obsolete. But she talks about everyday life and how pointless it is, and that ultimately you need to come to Christ, because you will meet them sooner. You will meet him sooner or later. You will stand before the King of Kings. Okay, that is the Christian War Room message here. I hope you enjoyed it. I want to encourage you one last time. Get going. Get the gospel out there. We are living in a world, if you are a Christian, we are living in a world in the West that is completely forlorn. They have lost the plot. Yeah. On every corner, they've lost the plot. They just haven't got a clue anymore about anything. And what we are heading for is serious judgment. Serious judgment. We're looking at a generation, maybe two generations, who have abandoned their relationship with God. They don't want to know about God anymore. They've even given up the pretense of following God, anything. They just do what is good in their own eyes. And what is right in their own eyes. They walk in the delusion of being God and being able to decide good and evil. And they get quite upset if you come along and you say, you're not right. Yeah, there's a standard here, and we need to follow this standard. But this is the world we're living in, and this is a challenge we are facing as Christians. Now, everything is sort of heading to the climax, to the return of Christ, and we need to make sure, even if it's just, you know, you get these gospel coins, or you get some tracts, or you get this audio message and you just play it at the traffic light loud in the car so that people can hear it with the windows down, the side windows down. Look, you do it 1,000 times, and if it's one soul that's getting saved, it's all worth it. If it's one soul that's getting the trigger, that's just getting it, one person that's getting it, it's worthwhile doing it. Lord, I just want to pray for this day. I ask you, Lord, that you will lead and guide us, and that you will give us ways, and that you will make us as cunning as snakes, but without flaw and faults as doves, to preach your gospel to this lost generation. I pray that you will lead us by your Holy Spirit, and that you will give us ideas and ways and methods to reach out to this lost generation. I pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.